Welcome to the Pregnancy After Loss podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Henry. This podcast is a place for parents to share their stories of pregnancy after loss in hopes to help themselves and others heal and find a supportive community along the way. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Pregnancy After Loss Podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the show to help reach other listeners like you. Today's guest is Allie Burke. We actually met through another podcast that we both shared our loss stories on, and we connected via social media, and we have just stayed connected via social media over the past year. So today, Allie is going to share her story of her own loss and her pregnancy that followed. So Allie, I'm going to kind of pass it over to you. Please share whatever you feel comfortable with in regards to your miscarriage and your pregnancy that followed your loss, and whatever you want to share for our listeners.
Okay, great. Thanks. My name is Allie Burke, as Shannon said. I have, my husband and I have been together for a very long time. So when we started talking about having kids, that came kind of later in our relationship. You know, we'd been together for a while before that. And we had talked about it for a long time before we actually started trying. And I got pregnant the first time very quickly. Which we were both surprised at. A lot of emotions that came with that. Like I said, it was fast, so shock for sure. I found out I was pregnant that first time in December of 2018. And I knew about the pregnancy. So when I found out, I was a little late. So I was probably like 4 weeks along. I knew for about a month, which was a long time to kind of adjust to the idea of, you know, being a parent and having a baby. And I was over the moon. I was so excited, but I was also very fearful. I do struggle with anxiety. I have for several years. So I was just very fearful, very anxious the entire time. Like, I still don't know if maybe I thought something was going to go wrong, or I don't know. I just was very scared of miscarriage for really no reason at all. I had no reason to think I'd have one, but I just was very fearful of it. I felt like I was walking on eggshells that entire month of that pregnancy. So I ended up experiencing a little bit of spotting. Like I said, about a month after I found out, I called the doctor. I was about 7 weeks at the time, so I hadn't even been to the doctor. But they said, you know, it's probably nothing. You know, we'll see you in a week for your first prenatal appointment. So I tried to, you know, kind of let it go. Obviously, my anxiety was through the roof at this point, but I tried to, you know, just focus on the positives and, you know, get to that appointment. So I went for my first prenatal appointment, and that was where I found out that, unfortunately, there was no heartbeat. So I would have been 8 weeks, but I was measuring 7. And, you know, my body hadn't recognized that. I had miscarried, so I ended up going in for a DNC, and I had never had surgery before, never been put under anesthesia before, so there was just a lot to kind of contend with in a short amount of time. You know, I was pregnant, then I wasn't, now I have to have the surgery. So it was pretty traumatic. I was very well taken care of, but it was very hard emotionally to go through that. So that was in January of 2019. Yeah, the surgery went fine. I recovered fine. Then, you know, came the inevitable conversation of, when do we start trying again? Where do we go from here? And it was really hard starting from scratch when, you know, now my only pregnancy that I'd ever experienced ended in a loss. But, you know, my husband and I, we knew we wanted kids. I knew I wanted a baby. I was more sure of that now than I ever had been before, now that I had been pregnant and lost it. So we decided to just start trying again right away, which I know is a very personal decision, and it's not a decision for everyone. You know, some women want to wait a long time or till a certain thing happens, and that is, you know, perfectly appropriate. It's whatever anyone wants to do. For me personally, I just didn't want to let my anxiety build and build and turn trying again into this like mountain that I just felt I couldn't climb. I just knew I wanted a baby, and I didn't want to let my fear and my anxiety stand in my way of that. So even though I was very scared of the same thing happening again, we kind of just jumped right back into it. And I just said, you know what, I'll deal with my emotions as they come. I did also start therapy for my anxiety at the same time. I didn't see anyone like specifically dealing with miscarriage or loss. I was seeing someone to deal with my anxiety because I knew that I needed to handle that better and address that better if I was going to go through a pregnancy after loss. Because I handled my first pregnancy so poorly, I felt with my anxiety that I knew I needed help in that area. So we did start trying again right away, but I was also getting counseling for my anxiety, which I think was really helpful. And I still kind of approach anxious moments the same way that I learned to in therapy. So I'm glad that I did that. So yeah, we started trying again right away. I got pregnant again fairly quickly. I found out in late May of 2019 that I was expecting again. So it took about 4 months from my DNC for me to get pregnant again, which is such a short amount of time looking back on it and hearing these, you know, myself say it 4 months, but it felt like an eternity. Like I think anyone, you know, trying to conceive again after loss, like will tell you it's, you know, a month feels like a year. So I had heard stories of all these women who got pregnant right away, like before they even got a period back, you know, and I was just like, who are these people? You know, like that's not happening for me. It's taking forever for me. And it really didn't, you know, looking back on it now, but at the time, you know, 4 months felt like a long time. So I understand that kind of just passage of time really does change. I feel like after you experience a loss and go on to, you know, try to conceive again and getting pregnant again, time just felt different, I feel like, after that. But I did get pregnant again in May. I was terrified. I, you know, it's so different finding out the second time or, you know, finding out after a loss, because the first time I was shocked, but I was so excited, like, you know, happy tears. This time I was just terrified. I think I just walked around that whole day. I showed my husband the pregnancy test and I must have looked like a deer in the headlights, like wide-eyed, terrified, just, you know, kind of couldn't believe it, but also kind of resigned, like, okay, let's try this again and see what happens. And I just went into total distraction mode. I think that's the only thing that got me through my first trimester was just distract, distract, distract. I found a bunch of good movies and shows to watch. I read a couple of books. We went for a lot of walks. I would call, you know, one of my friends if I was really anxious or freaking out about something, or just wanted to get my mind off of it. So, I mean, that whole first trimester, I just tried to almost forget a little bit that I was pregnant because I was just so scared. But I also felt a little bit more at ease with my anxiety because I felt like it was justified. Not that it wasn't the first time, you know, everyone's got a right to feel how they feel about certain things, but I was kind of beating myself up for having been so anxious during my first pregnancy for no reason. Like I don't know why I was so hung up on miscarriage and then it actually happened. So I just felt like, you know, why was I that way? But I felt like the second time around in pregnancy after loss that I was justified in being anxious because I had experienced a loss. So I was putting less pressure on myself to not feel anxious. Like I was just kind of taking it as it came and accepting that this was how I felt that day. And I didn't make myself feel so like guilty and like weighed down by it. So in a way it was actually easier to manage than my anxiety during the first pregnancy, but I definitely was very freaked out. I just distracted myself. I talked to people when I needed help. I had also, between my loss and getting pregnant again, I had found a support group actually at my hospital where I had my DNC and my OBGYNs affiliated with, and no one else ever showed up, because the OBGYN like never advertised or never gave women in my position information that there was even a miscarriage and loss support group, which I thought was a problem. But the only good thing about that was we were the only ones there, my husband and I. So for once a month, so about 4 or 5 times, I think we went to that support group, and it was just us and the nurse who ran it, who had experienced several losses herself. And it was great. It was almost like free additional therapy to talk specifically about the miscarriage kind of where do we go from here? So I think doing that, I remember her telling me, because I said, you know, we were starting to try again. And I was like, how do I face another pregnancy? Like, how do I even like get through another pregnancy with this fear that this is going to happen again? Like, it's so hard to even contemplate. And she said, you know, you're going to find like, you just do it, you know, because there's no other option. And you're also going to find that as you hit certain milestones, you're going to relax a little bit. Which I kind of held on to. And I didn't want to have the attitude of like, okay, if I get to this point, I'll feel better. If I get to this point, I'll feel better, because I always do that. And then I find something else to be worried about. But I did like the fact that she said, it's okay to feel a little bit more safe after each milestone, you know, like that will actually come and that will help. So I was happy to hear that. And it was true. I found like every milestone I hit, so having lost my first pregnancy came with its own, you know, set of unique challenges. Like, what if I, you know, I didn't know if I could carry a pregnancy. I didn't know if I could have a successful pregnancy and baby, because I only received bad news. I had only ever had, you know, it end badly. So that kind of came with its own set of fears I had to deal with. But, you know, when I did get good news, I was just so elated. Like I said, I don't have a successful pregnancy to compare with, but I felt like I was just on cloud nine after every good appointment, every, you know, good test result. I just rode that high for just days and days afterwards. Like, I remember, I have a very vivid memory of the night before my 8-week appointment, that I was terrified because my last 8-week appointment had gone horribly. We were watching Mary Poppins Returns. It had like just come out, and I was like, what can we watch that I'm not really going to watch because I'm so distracted and anxious, but like, I'll maybe enjoy a little bit. So we threw that on. I was just trying to not think about the next day, but I, you know, didn't sleep that night. I had to go through a whole day of work before I left for that appointment, because it was in the afternoon. And I just remember being like, how am I even functioning right now? I am so terrified of this appointment. So we go in there, and of course they're running late. So I'm in the waiting room like 45 minutes and waiting for the midwife for like another half hour. And I'm just pacing the room. Like, I wore a hole in that floor. I was so just anxious. But she comes in, she has like the little Doppler. It wasn't a, Doppler. It was like a little handheld ultrasound machine. And, you know, that's what the nurse had put on me that first time, and couldn't find the baby. And, you know, I was just having all those images kind of coming back and freaking out about, but she put it on my belly. And then like right away, she was like, you know, here's the baby and here's a heartbeat. And it just instant tears. Like, I will never forget that feeling. Like, it's a joyous occasion, I'm sure, no matter what, you know, if it's your, you know, first pregnancy or fifth pregnancy. But like, for me, having only had that appointment go poorly, and to have, you know, to actually see this little being on the screen with a heartbeat was just incredible. Like, it was such an incredible feeling. And like I said, I rode that high for days afterwards. And same thing, you know, every appointment we went where she was happy, she was thriving, she was wiggling, she had a heartbeat. It was amazing. I did also have high blood pressure before I got pregnant. So I was watched very closely, during my pregnancy, which definitely helped a lot ease my anxiety. I had a lot of appointments, especially towards the end. I had a couple of ultrasounds. I went for, non-stress tests towards the end, where they hook you up to a monitor and they just watch the baby's heart rate increase or decrease with movement for like 20, 30 minutes. So I went for those twice a week, which was very reassuring. But the big kind of milestone for me that helped me relax was when my daughter started to move regularly. You know, I passed the point of my loss, and that was great. I got through my anatomy scan, and that was great too. We found out that we were having a girl, which we were over the moon about. But then when I started to feel her move on like a regular basis, like every day, and she was very active, that really put my mind at ease and made me be like, okay, I feel like, you know, this is actually going to happen. Like, I feel like I'm actually having a baby. But I feel like it's weird, you know, even though my loss was early, it almost like you get this mental block in your head, like you're afraid to, you know, buy things or put things together, like right up through the very end. Like, you know, there was no reason for me to panic, you know, but I still would have these moments. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed my pregnancy way more than I thought I would. Given that, you know, I had experienced that loss and I struggle with anxiety, but it was still kind of hard. I did things a lot later than I would have had it been my first pregnancy that had been successful. You know, I told people later, I put it on social media later, and I debated not doing it at all. We set the nursery up later. I bought things later than I always thought I would, just because you just don't feel, or for me at least, I didn't feel like, because the first time it didn't work out, I just was like, well, why is it going to work out this time? So I definitely struggled with that, but overall, you know, had a great pregnancy, you know, uneventful, really great delivery. I was induced at 39 weeks. Again, because of the high blood pressure, which had been fine the whole pregnancy, but I guess being on the medication I was on, they wanted to induce me at 39 weeks because I guess it can help prevent preeclampsia. So that was really long, but it was fine. You know, I had her, I think, so I checked into the hospital on Thursday morning, had her on Friday night. And she was perfect. And she is still perfect at 15 months old. Her name's Evangeline. We call her Evie. And I'm at the point now where, you know, miscarriage sucks. And I would never wish it on my worst enemy, but I don't regret, I'm not saying like I'm glad that it happened, but I don't regret that it happened because it really changed my outlook on a lot of things. It helped me realize I needed help for my anxiety once and for all. Which I got, and I still, you know, benefit from, you know, almost 2 years later. It made me, I think, a better, more grateful, you know, mother. I think I'm more patient, and I'm more, you know, it's okay. I definitely walked the line at the beginning when she was a newborn between like, well, I need to be grateful all the time. Like, I can't struggle, you know, I can't let people know I'm struggling, or I can't be sad or stressed, or, you know, because I wanted this so bad. And after experiencing loss, like, I just need to be grateful all the time. And I realized, like, you know, it's okay to admit, like, motherhood's hard. Having a newborn's really hard, you know, whether you wanted it, you know, badly, or it was an accident, or it's your first child or your eighth child, like, it's still tough and there's still ups and downs. And I definitely had to take a step back and recognize that it was okay to feel overwhelmed and, you know, question if I could do this and, you know, say that this is really hard and this is really like crappy right now, knowing it's going to get better, but like right now I'm in it and it's really hard. But overall, I'd say I take things more in stride than I would have, you know, before my miscarriage. And if I hadn't had that miscarriage before her, and I'm just much more grateful and appreciative of what it took to get here. And yeah, it's all just been part of my story. I think of the miscarriage now as, you know, I didn't want it to define me. I didn't want it to be its own novel. I just wanted it to be like a chapter in my story. And that's what I feel like it finally is. It took a long time to get there. You know, it didn't go away as soon as I got pregnant with my daughter. It took a long time, you know, my whole pregnancy and into her, you know, toddlerhood to really kind of wrap my emotions around it. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I absolutely love that. Especially what you shared about motherhood. I was going to ask you, how has parenting, how do you think parenting has changed? Your parenting might be changed due to your loss, but I mean, you like obviously read my mind before this started, because that's so true. And honestly, when I was walking into my work this morning, you know, I'm 31 weeks pregnant, right now. And I was thinking to myself how exhausted I am and how I'm like hurting and how, gosh, I only have 9 weeks left, but 9 weeks feels like forever. And then I thought to myself, oh, you need to just quit. You know, you need to just be grateful. And, you know, you're kind of preaching to the choir about, you know, sometimes you just have to realize that things are hard. And I love that you said that, because even in pregnancy after loss and parenting after loss, you know, it's okay to still like complain about things sometimes, because let's be real, like pregnancy is still hard. Motherhood is still hard. And it's okay to like voice those things, right? So I love that you said that. That is like spot on. And I think every soon to be mother or mother, especially after loss, needs to hear that, because you know, you do struggle with that guilt of like, I need to just be grateful all the time. But sometimes, you know, it's okay to just vent and let those feelings out. If you had one thing that you want to share with a mother to be who is pregnant after their own loss, what would that be?
I think really just that, like what we touched on, just let yourself feel what you feel and don't add extra pressure or guilt to it. You know, if you are tired of being pregnant and you don't want to be pregnant anymore, you're not sure that, you know, you're ready for this, like that's all okay. You know, just because you wanted it really bad, like don't beat yourself up for feeling feelings. And get help when you need it, ask for help. I think the best, two best things that I did between the miscarriage and the pregnancy that really carried me through the pregnancy were therapy for my anxiety and the support group. And it was actually really sweet. Like you make connections with people, you know, being open, you know, to talk about stuff like this that just help you so much in ways you don't even expect. Like the woman who ran the support group at the hospital, she was an OB nurse, or she was a maternity nurse. She worked on the maternity floor. So we saw her. I went to one session after I found out I was pregnant again, and we kept in touch, but I obviously didn't go to the support groups after that, because I didn't want to, you know, if someone did show up who had experienced a loss, I didn't want to show up pregnant, be like, hey. So I hadn't been going, but we kept in touch. And when I was at the hospital and I had my daughter and I went up to the maternity floor, I was like, is Donna working in the next like couple of days while I'm here? And they were like, she is. And she got herself assigned to my room. And I saw her again with my, you know, having just had my daughter, and it had come full circle. And it was just so nice to make that connection and have that connection. And she was so excited for us, you know, to see us kind of come full circle. And, you know, that's a connection I wouldn't have made had I not reached out and said, I need help. So just always like never be afraid to reach out, ask for help. You know, online, in person, friends, strangers, you know, just be open with whatever you're comfortable sharing, because it really does help, you know, make the experience not so isolating.
That's absolutely so true. I mean, I don't know how many women I reached out to from Shelley's podcast and just random people that I met on social media, or people who I was never really friends with in person, but like knew through other acquaintances, that like I was able to reach out to, that really just helped me realize I wasn't alone.
Yeah. And it's so under, you know, miscarriage is so under talked about. And by telling my story, I found out so many people I knew well. You know, coworkers, friends, family members had been through what I'd been through, and I never knew. It's so good. And people don't talk about pregnancy after loss, because it's like, oh, well, you're pregnant now, so you're fine. You know, I feel like that's the attitude. Like, yeah, you had a loss, but like you're having a baby now. It's great. It's exciting. And it's like, yeah, but there's a lot of emotions tied to it after that.
Yeah, there totally is. And that's kind of where I got this idea to start this podcast. I know I already told you, but like, you're my first guest, but that's true. Like there isn't really, there's not enough talk about being pregnant after loss. There's a lot of talk about loss, not enough, like you said, and a lot of talk about pregnancy and birth.
Yeah.
Not nearly enough talk about both of those things together. So I love that you were able to come on and share your story. And we're able to connect on a totally different level now, both having experienced pregnancy after loss. So before we close out today, if someone who is listening today wants to connect with you, where would they be able to do that?
Instagram's probably the best. I spam everyone on Instagram with pictures of my daughter. But if you wanted to find me, I'm at ACC Burke, B-U-R-K. And then I'm on Facebook too, as just Allie Burke, A-L-I-B-U-R-K. And again, if you want to find me, I'd be happy to make your acquaintance, but you will be spammed with pictures of my kiddo.
And she's so adorable too. I love her. She's so awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allie. I really appreciate you coming on today and being vulnerable and sharing your story. So I'll talk to you later, and I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Pregnancy After Loss podcast. Don't forget to check out the show notes to connect to today's guest and find any resources shared in today's episode. To catch new episodes, subscribe to the show on whichever platform you listen to podcasts. Until next time.